I recently read I read a theologian who said that Christmas is by far the most celebrated event in the Christian calendar. But when compared to Easter, it's actually just a minor detail. He said that if we took every story of Jesus' birth in the New Testament and we got rid of it, he said, really, you would hardly even notice. But if you took away the resurrection, he said, to be honest, we would then have no story at all. You see, Easter is the heart, it is the very center of Christianity and its message. And so what I'm going to attempt to do today is talk to you about what does it mean? What does Easter mean? And I was preparing for this thing for a while, trying to maybe write a play or something. And, you know, you set in there to talk about the resurrection. And let me tell you, it is a lot more difficult to talk about than you would think. I thought I would just rattle it off like this. It was not that way. And, you know, Easter, it means so many things. And I'm sure you've heard tons of Easter sermons before. And every one of those things is important. But today I want to tell you one of the meanings of Easter that I think often gets overlooked, perhaps because it's too difficult for us to believe. So just before I go on here, I want to say this. I want to say that as Christians, we really actually believe that something happened on Easter morning. Something tangible, something historical. Something in this real world. See, we believe that Jesus really did rise from the dead. He wasn't resuscitated, or he wasn't merely mistaken for dead. No. We believe that Jesus was dead, and that God raised him from the dead. And you know what? Many people find this difficult to believe. And yet, you believe it. And many people would or may have called you crazy for believing it. And yet, you believe it. But what I want to tell you today is something that I think the Apostle Paul would want you to know today about resurrection. But again, I have to warn you, this is difficult to believe. You see, more than anything in the whole world, the Apostle Paul wanted his tiny early churches to reorient their minds and lives around the reality of the resurrection. Listen here to what he wanted them to know. He says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead." You see, the Apostle Paul prayed for these new believers that they would have new eyes. Eyes that could see the incomparably great power of God for us who believe. That power, he said, is the same as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. And I just want to tell you plainly today that the first thing I want to say is that God is working the power of resurrection life on behalf of his people. Easter is a celebration of life. That's why we put up balloons here, because they really show celebration, you know. My wife even pointed out that they were spinning during the music. It was awesome. It's a celebration of life, and it's a celebration of God's death-defying life. Easter tells us that death cannot and will not ever be the last word, because life is for us. But how? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me that life's for us? What does it mean that God is working His incomparably great power toward us or for us who believe? Now again, I want to talk to you about this, but before I go on, I have to remind you that as far as I understand it, you believe that a man literally rose from the dead. Is that true?
Yeah.
Justin believes it. You believe that a man was stone cold dead and was brought back to life. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Strange. You see, you are accustomed now to believing that which is difficult to believe. But what about this power of life? How is it for us and where is it found? This is what I believe is the startling truth of Easter. Paul says this: "Now to Him who was able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or can even imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You see, the startling truth of Easter is this: that the same power that overcame the grave, the same power that brings life in the face of death, the same power that can do the unimaginable has been placed within us. Do you believe it? The truth is, Paul believed it. And if you read his letters, you will get to see it, that he literally could not stop giving thanks for God's people because he was so excited about seeing the power of God at work with them. And he literally pointed this out every chance that he got. Okay, I'm just going to read with you a few of these things. Sometimes we miss it. Notice this, Colossians chapter 1. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints." 1 Thessalonians 1, "We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and the Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that He has chosen you." 2 Thessalonians 1, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God." You see, Paul saw the impact of the resurrection written all over the lives of his Christian family. And he prayed for them and wanted them to begin to open their eyes so that they could see it too. Paul believed, just like in the story of the trees, that the resurrection had changed everything. Not in an invisible way, what we oftentimes call spiritual, okay? Not in an invisible way, but in a way that was plain for eyes to see, that the spiritual had invaded our reality. Now, I first caught on to this summer when I was doing a course at Regent, and I read about this second century church father named Athanasius. Now, you may think that that sounds like the most boring thing in the world to read. And so did I, actually, until I started reading him. And following in the footsteps of Paul, Athanasius had this incredible hope for the world because he saw the resurrection playing out everywhere he went. He said this. He said, "Listen, if you want to know if the resurrection is real, all you have to do is walk outside and open your eyes. That was his argument. Okay? This guy's central in church history. He said that real world change is the mark of resurrection. And he said, if you open your eyes, you'll begin to see it everywhere. Now, don't get me wrong. You might be thinking to yourself, how would you see that? Well, I didn't really get it either until he started to explain it. And this is what he said. Now, let's just be frank here. In the ancient world, sexual immorality was just plain as day. Okay? It was the norm. It was pretty a messy situation, so much so that women started hating men. But Athanasius said that because of the resurrection, he said that these young men were actually becoming celibate. And they were treating these women with dignity. And he said, listen, if you can't see that that's a mark of the resurrection, then you're the same kind of person that would deny the law of gravity. Because it's so obvious that the whole world is changing. Another thing he said, listen, I know people, they're Christians, and sometimes people steal their property. He said, well, we just sit down and laugh about that stuff. Because God's life is here now. They're not clinging to those things. And finally, he said, he's seen men, women, and children that aren't afraid to die because Jesus is alive. This guy had so much hope in his world. He literally thought evil was going to be overthrown in his lifetime. That's a hope-filled man. You see, this is what it looks like when God's life overcomes death. We can see it in our real world. God's mighty power, his death-defying power of life, is actually within us, says Paul. Do you see it? Is it as obvious to you as the laws of gravity? I think that sometimes it isn't obvious to us because we don't know what we're looking for. We don't know, if I went out to find it, what would I expect to see? Athanasius got me on that trail. But what did Paul expect to see? What did he expect to see of this mighty power of life in his real communities? Now, just before I go ahead here, I want to say to you this. Listen, God is great. There is no one greater than God. We believe this. We believe that he has all power, that his might is infinite. He has the power which calls creation into being. One of Alan's favorite sayings that rings in my mind is that he whispers and the mountains shatter. Death cannot hold him. Hell cannot defeat him. His power knows no end. And Paul is saying that it is that power that has touched down in our lives. And this is what it looks like. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You see, the infinite power of God, when it touches down in our lives, it comes out in the wash as the power of love. And what I want to do today, I want to do something different, and I'm actually going to get you guys to preach a sermon. Okay, this is how this thing's going to end. Because Paul and Athanasius believed that you could see the resurrection in the real world. And the question for us is, do we believe it, and can we see it? And so what we're going to do is we're actually going to prove it to one another today. Okay, so this is my challenge to you, is to have courage and to prove it to one another. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do two things, okay? And I'm going to pray for us two things. Number one, I'm going to pray to God exactly what Paul prayed, that He would open our eyes to the strength of God's resurrection power on behalf of us who believe. You see, when we open our eyes to this, we become people of thanksgiving. There's one professor at Regent. He's an old man. You may know him. His name's J.I. Packer. And he said, Paul is a professional thanksgiver. That is Paul's main job in his mind. He sees the good and gives thanks for it. And Paul saw this everywhere. He always had a reason to give thanks. And so I want us to celebrate life together. And I want to share with one another how it is that we see God's life on display in this community. Okay, this is a big challenge. Now, you can talk about a story about how you've seen it in general, or you can talk a story about how you've seen it specifically in somebody here. Okay? I'm going to give you an example here, because I swear you're going to get thinking too big, okay? Because that's what we do. But again, Paul's saying, do you see kindness? Do you see someone who's tender-hearted? Have you seen forgiveness? These are the things of God's life. Now, let me tell you a story. We were, the young adults were helping clean up at Barry and Rosina's recently for one of these festivals. And Brianna decided she was going to start vacuuming because she really wanted to do the hard work. And I kid you not, we couldn't get her to leave. After we were done, and I said to her, listen, Barry and Rosina are going to bed. You're going to have to stop vacuuming in their house. She's, oh, I'm not going to stop vacuuming. I want to make sure that this thing is clean. And she was there for an extra 40 minutes, and then they had to kick her out, you know, as they're trying to sleep in their bed, and she's, you know, right beside them. Now, the thing is, you might overlook that, right? We overlook it as people. Then we become cynical about the world. But I'll tell you what, if you have eyes to see it, you'll see a young girl who could be out doing anything else, but instead, we all go out for lunch to have a good time, and she says, no, I need to keep vacuuming. I want to get this thing done. Now, is that ordinary? To me, it was extraordinary, because that's not something that I regularly do. I just thought, there's something wrong with her. Okay? But this is a story of God's life in the everyday. Okay? It's normal moments of kindness. Okay? We all have stories like this, and we see it everywhere. It's extravagant, and it makes a difference. Okay, so I'm going to be challenging you guys to share a story. I'm going to bring a microphone over, and the microphone really terrifies people, but we're going to do that. The second thing is this. Sometimes when we forget to give thanks and we miss these things, we begin to become hard-hearted, or maybe we become deceived about things. And so Paul says, listen, we got to learn how to forgive each other. Okay? We need tender hearts towards one another in forgiveness. And I'm going to pray for you as well, that maybe you have something against somebody here, and maybe you need to share that with them. Or maybe you have something against the church, you know, because you've let little things stack up. But I want to pray for you today that God will perform resurrection in your heart. Okay? That your heart will grow tender towards the church. And what I mean by the church is this family here, okay? That we would be strong forgivers of one another, because that's God's life. And it's real. Easter is a celebration of life, a life working within us, if you can believe it, a life empowered by the infinite life of God. It is the power in us to do the ordinary things that God's people were born to do. To be kind to one another. To have tender hearts. To be passionate forgivers. And to always, always, always remember that this God, this wonderful God of life, forgave you. Let's pray. God, I want to pray today what Paul prayed for his congregations, that the eyes of our heart would be open, that we could actually know you and know your power within us. Because to believe in the resurrection and something that happened in the past is one thing. But to believe that you have then poured out that life into us today, boy, oh boy, is it another. But God, we want to believe in your power because we want to be tender-hearted people. We want the people who come into this place and into this family to see tender hearts, kindness, and forgiveness scattered all over the place. God, I thank you that the hope of Easter is that you really have made us alive. And that you are a God whose power, your infinite power, is worked in us as love. God, I thank you for the resurrection and for the life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.